Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, welcome to New Homeschool Episode 10, welcoming Matt Powers. Matt Powers is an author, educator, and entrepreneur focused on radically transforming the K-12 experience for children everywhere by aligning their education with current regenerative science, natural principles, and clear ethics, earth care, people care, and future care. Through Matt's collection of online courses, teacher's guides, textbooks, and workbooks, K-12 students can understand collegiate and graduate school concepts, learn how to ethically redesign our world, and even restore and rewild large landscapes, revising the devastating effects of climate change. Matt's work is found in English, Arabic, Polish, and Spanish, with dozens more translations currently in process. Matt's bold vision is to empower children everywhere to live in regeneration where every action and decision are beneficial to the local and greater ecosystemic and social community. Matt is a former public high school English teacher with a master's in education. Matt provides daily inspirational and regenerative content as one of the most followed Primacol teachers online. With tens of thousands of followers on Twitter, Facebook groups, and pages ranging in topics from permaculture, education, to entrepreneurship, to gardening, to fungi, and more. We are wonderful worldwide educators sharing what makes sense, teaching the future, our children, to enhance, to pay attention, to utilize, to care for the earth, the place that sustains us and has everything we need to survive, even thrive here. Not only teaches something of a real benefit, but also can help us learn collectively by recognizing what just is, what actually provides. To recognize the importance of the earth, the sincerity, the pureness, the ability to just shine like the sun is a direct reflection of who we really are and how we connect. How we perceive it, how we utilize it is a direct effect on how we as a whole will survive or thrive. I'm Mary. I'm a new mom sharing the new presentation with the new homeschool, helping people recognize not only the place we reside in right now, but also that we are multidimensional, free beings of real light, and what we can perceive here is only a start to recognizing all of life, the all is. I'm here with the president of New Homeschool, Sandy Staling, and without further ado, welcome, Ms. Howard. Thank you so much for coming to our show. If you just wanted to introduce yourself, maybe share what permaculture is, and share a few of your websites so maybe people can take a peek while you're talking.
Okay, for sure. I'm Matt Powers. I'm an educator, an author, a family guy, and I was just a regular teacher, teaching English and teaching history, and my wife kept getting cancer, and I was looking for solutions, and I found permaculture as this higher level than organic solutions, like the garden, but then it had all this design science that led outside of the garden that touched upon homesteading and hinted at more. And so I was totally intrigued. I'm a history teacher, an English teacher, totally intrigued. And it just led me on this journey to exploring how to live regeneratively. So that's me in a nutshell. And permaculture is really simply seeing the world through nature's eyes. So we're partnering with nature in all the natural patterns and systems. So it started off as permanent agriculture, got shortened to permanent cultures, and then we had this realization at a certain point that we don't want just permanent agriculture. We want to cultivate people and our traditions in such a way that they honor the earth, they honor people, and they honor both on into the future. So that's where that earth care, people care, and future care comes in. And so for me as a public school teacher, I was a homeschool parent because it was all the other teachers were, for the most part, were also homeschool parents. So the writing was on the wall. All the under school grades, there was drugs, there was all the things that we're totally afraid of, you know what I mean, putting our kids in contact with. And not only that, when the ninth graders came to us at the high school, they never read a book. They'd never read a novel. So there was like this like huge gap in learning. And so I was like playing catch up. And like I was bringing my son often with me, who was 8 years old, to my high school. And he was like, wait, Dad, you've never read the book? I mean, I read that book last night. You know what I mean? Like, my son is like an avid reader. He has been reading at a high school level since he was at age 10 and trying to read at a high school level before that. And so it was just such this wild, like, divergence between the kids that were given the real opportunity to encounter and given the freedom to learn and explore, like, in an unschooling, homeschooling environment. And then these kids that were forced through these programs where their teachers weren't buying into it, but where they were buying into it, because, you know what I mean? And it just was this cascade of failure. And so, yeah, I just found myself creating the curriculum. Once I understood permaculture enough, I realized that it was the linchpin that everyone needed in all of their education. The reason that kids aren't curious in schools, the reason that, like, schools will always create a disconnection by design. All those things like occurred to me. And that's why I started writing curriculum, primarily initially for homeschool. I've created standards now that can be used in public schools and stuff. But there's nothing that's better than being able to be taught by people that you are so familiar with that the mirror neurons just pick up without you trying.
Yeah.
I mean, scientifically, you know what I mean? So I focused on that group first, and the homeschoolers are amazingly loyal. And so many of the entrepreneurs that I work with in permaculture are also homeschool families. So there's this huge thread of homeschooling through the permaculture world and through the entrepreneurship world that has been hugely supportive and kind of like just like yeah, you're doing the right thing, you know, just stay the course, you know what I mean? And so yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. And if you go to thepermaculturestudent.com, I've got free books. So I've got middle school books that you can adapt to elementary. I've got free books that are high school and high school college level that can be adapted to lower level high school and upper level middle school to a certain degree. I mean, you could just flip through it with almost anyone and be like, holy cow, what is that? And you're like, that's China and how we've restored it in only 9 years, 500,000 square kilometers of landscape that was basically desert and bare dirt now is covered in green beautifulness. So you can go on there. You can find all those resources. I've got a What is Permaculture section on there with videos. I've actually got a ton of free online courses because I totally understand what it is to be a homeschool parent and not have the resources that you need. Because when I started looking into permaculture, I was like, where's the stuff for the kids? Because they can understand and do all of this stuff. And not only that, it would give them the underpinning understanding of our science, our physics, all of this at such a deeper level that when they are, you know, doing all those other classes, doing their physics, doing their economics, doing, you know, all doesn't matter what it is. It might be more hands-on. But they're going to be able to apply these insights that they get, these deep pattern literacy, and pattern literacy just goes right into the way we actually learn. Our schema is the term. And we develop around patterns, and those patterns form larger patterns in our minds. And that's why we create automaticity that way. So it flows exactly within that. And so once we start building those kind of natural pattern literacy and scaling understanding, it flows into all these other avenues of understanding. And then it allows them to be more regenerative, which in the end is going to be more marketable. So the real problem, you know what I mean, is that the schools like damage our kids right now. But the other real problem is that they don't even prepare our kids for the reality, for schooling. You know what I mean? We're not first going for the business world. And so schooling at any point should actually bring value and make them greater and allow them to access their best selves and, you know, express their different learning modality. And that is reinforced by those things. But we don't see that at all now. And in fact, a lot of people are just looking at college and they're like, wow, that looks like a lot of debt and no guarantee. And so I really wanted to create something that would lead to real careers, that would lead to not only just real careers, but innovative careers and entrepreneurship opportunities so that we could actually adapt the market as it is. Because as it is, the market is losing jobs steadily, and they're trying to always do things to create jobs. But the number one way that economies have always adapted is through innovation and demand. And so if we have our children are these innovators, these entrepreneurs, they can create businesses. They can create solutions to the problems that we find to be daunting because they already understood the science since they were 9 years old. And because they've been able to mold the science through different stages of their brain development and, you know, them finding themselves as a person, that piece of information is modulating along with them. And there's so much, it's like fluency. We talk about, you know, how, you know, get the languages in there early enough. But if we get the pattern literacy in there, that natural understanding of the world around them, the way things actually work, micro to macro, the way that we partner with the carbon cycle, the nitrogen cycle, the water cycles, those things, we literally, all the textbooks, you know, they're missing critical pieces. And if you understand those critical pieces, well, then you can start adapting things here and things there to your house, your business, or your lifestyle, and then you get healthier, then you get more sales, then you connect to more people, and then you get to real results instead of Band-Aids. So it's really about connecting people to the science that we should be having in our education system, but we haven't had the privilege of accessing yet. But we do now have the opportunity, and that's why I give it away as much as I can for free. And I've got, you know, tons of courses. I've got, you know, all sorts of things that are there to buy. I've got teachers' editions. I've got everything there. But I do also make sure to share things digitally so that people can just start by knowing and getting involved.
Yeah, what? You are hands down amazingly beautiful. You are so awesome doing what you're doing and sharing something of a real benefit for all of us to actually learn and then to utilize in the future for something that's going to sustain, you know, where we're living and produce, you know, students of life to actually continue to live here, because the way we're going without something like this is very devastating. And can you just repeat your website one more time?
Yeah, it's thepermaculturestudent.com. And all my books are also on Amazon. They're on my website. I'm having a huge sale right now, actually. So if you want $50 off of a $95 book set, I mean, like, today is the day to go get that. Or this week, really, because the whole next week it'll be still on. So yeah, I've got a lot of books on there. I've got videos on thepermaculturestudent.com. I've got online courses that are all ages K through 12, homeschooling. So you got cooking, you got seed saving, you got food preservation, you got, of course, gardening and permaculture design. But then there's critical thinking, and then it's stepped out. So you've got elementary age questions, middle school, and then high school. So that, and then there's challenges too. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that. I really want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity that we really didn't growing up to really understand the way that everything that we do has an effect on everything around us. I mean, I'm inhaling the air exhaled by the plants from across the globe. That's crazy. You know, it's like we go outside, 90% or well, over 90% of all the plants partner with this one fungi called arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi that actually is so ancient, we don't know if it has an ancestor. And it does this crazy thing that no other thing does. It collects nuclei. So it's dikaryotic, which means that it has so much genetic data. So from 800 to 1,200 other different species and other fungi that it can actually, it can pick and choose between the different DNA, which means that it defies all that we thought of with the tree of life. We are at the cusp moment of understanding so much more about the way the world works scientifically through fungi, through soil science. And it's all the old modalities that, like, you just put a chemical spray on it and it goes away. You know, we know things don't go away any longer. I mean, we learned that, you know, nothing is ever destroyed, right? Created or destroyed, matter's always here. But somehow that like slipped past our affective filter in that 80s education that we all seem to get. We got this cookie cutter education, and anyone who spends any time just reading up on like science journals right now is just going to be flabbergasted to what they're talking about. I mean, they're talking about how DNA is not our destiny. And there's these other switches on our DNA that actually are signaling our DNA. So we're at this amazing time period where we have science that's totally dislocated from our education system. And so, and then in the tech world, it's similar, where we have people who, you know, prefer hiring people who have not done, and maybe you homeschool parents have seen this, where your kids are excelling and those public school kids can't even keep up because they've learned a restriction, a limitation. And so this is about removing those limitations, introducing the truth, the real science, and empowering our kids for once. If we look at our history that's been taught to us, I mean, the 80s history was like heroification / it's all just wars and victors. And then the 90s at Virgin of my history class was like revisionist history. Oh dear, we were the worst things ever. And now it's like, wait a second, there's this whole other history that we didn't know about, this indigenous history. And guess what? There's indigenous Europeans too. So everyone gets to be indigenous. You know, it's like suddenly we get to see that there's this much longer picture. Humans are these regenerative beings. We don't have to fulfill this story of being destruction. We don't have to destroy nature to make money. The story of humans is much more beautiful than this, the history that we've been introduced to. I, for one, want to create a whole new, after I finish what I'm doing right now, I want to create a whole history series based around the regenerative history of our family instead of just from the conqueror's perspective. Because if we study family history and the new research from the past 40 years, it's a much richer story. Women in Australia, Aboriginal women were baking bread 30,000 years before, you know, the Egyptians. Uh-huh. The story of humanity is much richer, and it's much more regenerative. So anyway, I'm so excited to bring this to the fore and just share.
Yeah, I think it's so wild how you got on this track because your wife was getting very sick. Were you homeschooled?
You know, what's interesting is I kind of was, because my mom was a special ed, like teacher. She had a master's degree in special ed. And they, at the time period that I started, they started doing the creative spelling thing. So they stopped doing phonics. And everyone struggled all of a sudden. And my mom just took it upon herself to make sure that didn't happen to me. And so she taught me to read. My mom taught me to read. So I was basically schooled by my mom before they got to me, because my mom obviously was – my mom was a politician. She was a local politician, and she was actually one of the first waves of women politicians at the state level in Connecticut, and really represented a huge change in the way things worked in that time period. She created the helmet laws in the state of Connecticut. Yeah, I could go everywhere. Apologize for any tangents. Can you repeat the question?
No, go right ahead. People need to hear what you're saying.
It was about...
So I was saying, were you homeschooled? And you were talking about how your mom, and like it was very restrictive of school, and they are still doing things like that by changing everything. They changed math when I was in school, and they made it something called IMP, which was supposed to be integrated math problems, which was problems to help those in math who couldn't get basically the basics down. And I can tell you from my perspective, from a student who couldn't get the basics down, that when you put it in a huge word problem, and not only could I not get the basics down, but now I had to figure out how to pull the information out of the word problem, then to use the basics. So I remember school being very restrictive and very much upside down, and there was no say in what it was that we wanted to get taught. and from what I've seen from lots of children who are being homeschooled and the homeschool parents that I do talk to or I do get to connect with, or even the children that I see that are homeschooled, they're a lot more at peace with themselves. And I find that they're, I mean, everybody has their own issues and concerns and things that we have to, you know, our growing pains that we have to happen, but they're a lot happier because they get a choice and a decision in what it is that they want to explore, and then they get to strengthen, you know, those interests on a much larger scale. And most of the time, they're also not cooped up in a, you know, a place with lighting that is detrimental to you. They get real sun and get to go outside and, you know, really be explorers of the world and get to think on their own, whereas in school and the public schools, it's set, it's regulated, there isn't really room for exploration. It's, this is what it is, this is what you do, and this is how you do it. So if you, you know, whether you succeed or fail, it doesn't matter at the end of the day, because, you know, you end up deciding if you're going to go to college or not, and you just pay a bunch of money to basically do the same thing over again and to get jobs that are and get paid, you know, to do jobs that are destroying the earth. So what you're presenting and what you've created for, you know, homeschool and schools alike, could definitely be shared everywhere. So everyone who's listening, you know, Matt Powers at primaculturestudent.com. It's something that if you're on a school board in a public school, you can bring up there to introduce Primaculture and learn about how to teach the students there a lot better. And then also in homeschool, where you can utilize it just for another extracurricular activity, or even pick up the curriculum that he has with him. Is Sandy, are you there? Did you have any questions?
Oh, sorry, I have to get myself off of mute here. I think this is a great, great thing, and the future is really dependent on a lot of what you are doing, Matt. I know there used to be, or maybe there still is, some group in Hawaii where they're doing permaculture, and I believe that they had started it and said if you work like 12 hours in the field, you get a yurt with solar power, so you're self-sustainable. That's what I like about this stuff. I grew up with a great-grandmother who always had a garden full of fresh fruit and vegetables, and in the winter, she herself would walk to the store and bring home fresh produce. So we always had good things to eat, and I think that's the way it should be, instead of all these chemically treated GMO foods that you find in the store today. Don't you agree, Matt?
You're absolutely correct. I mean, and that's what I was trying to get at with the whole, the true history or the deeper history is that we have this amazing family heritage of food preservation and food and plant breeding, actually. So if we go and look at the garden store, we go and look at all the seed collections in the world, who made all these seeds? Well, it was all of our great-grandparents. All of our, you know, they are the ones who brought that heritage up until only a few generations ago did it change at all. So we have this touchstone that we can immediately go back and then see the way people actually lived, the way people actually ate. And people actually slept. Something that people don't realize is 150 years ago, the sleep patterning actually changed with the advent of the electric light. We used to have bimodal sleep. There's a great BBC article on it that all homeschoolers should have fun with. That's called The Myth of the 8-Hour Sleep. I recommend it to all my students. So, yeah, that's a fun one. But just like these myths that we've been living with, like that may be 100 years old, 50 years old, even 20 years old, they have these hidden issues that we've really glossed over in our society. Part of the reason why people have so many sleep problems in our society is because humans weren't designed to sleep the way we do. Part of the reason why people have so many problems and food allergies is because our foods are sprayed with things designed to irritate or drive away or kill pests. and the same digestion, the same organisms that were either the insect the digestions or the actual organisms themselves are mirrored in our guts. And then so the soil life that we're losing in the soil and the life that interacts with it, we're also losing in tandem in our guts. So the gut biome that we've all learned about, prebiotics, probiotics, all this wonderful stuff in the past few years, but now we're understanding that we're killing that because we're killing the soil, because we're simplifying the life that interacts with our food. And so, yeah, I really feel like this is such a powerful point. And then I mentioned earlier about how DNA is in destiny. When we look at GMOs, they're taking a sequence out and modulating it, or they're putting a different sequence in from a different organism. But what they're doing is changing one sequence or several sequences. And there's different ways they've done it. Originally, they started with actual shotguns, and now they've got, like, CRISPR guns, and they claim they're better because they actually use the backwards processes of deletion. But the reality is we actually don't understand the full ramifications of ever creating a genetically modified organism, because there's 30,000 variations per sequence. That's why DNA isn't actually destiny. What's beautiful, and the thing that's not in schools, and I teach it just part of my curriculum because everyone should know the basic science of the world we live in, is that, and I don't know if you guys know this either, but this is one of my favorite things to talk about, is that we have these epigenetic switches on all of our genes, and they're affected by the environment that we're in. We're like, oh, we get that. We get poisoned, and it affects our gene expression. Got that. I've gotten the flu before, or something like that, right? A toxin, something that interrupts your gene, your normal expression. But then it's also the food we eat. Food is literally information. Maybe you've heard that before. People say that now more and more often. It actually modulates, it reacts with our cells, and it causes, you know, different protein expressions. And we kind of know that too, because you can eat really good food and feel really good, or you can eat really bad food and suddenly you don't feel so good. And then there's this third one, which, you know, is not in schools at all, because then it raises all these other questions and involves other cross-disciplinary things, is belief. If so, you take two people, you put one in prison and they thrive because they go back on their faith and they're turning within. They may, you know, physically be suffering and going through things, but they internally, they persevere and come out of those situations usually as a stronger person. And then there are some people who have the opposite reaction, and they get depressed and down, and often they get sick and can even die, and that's a downregulation of their genes. And that's from their perception. And so our perception is in itself an actual modulator on our genes. And so this biology of belief is absolutely stunning, but it's this kind of science that has been proven for decades now, that is now been in and out of all the journals for over a decade. I mean, DNA is Not Destiny was a cover of Discover magazine, 2006. And then, yeah, there's just so much stuff that once we have that basic understanding of, there's no tolerance for the risk involved in GMOs, in spraying things with toxins. You're like, oh, there's a pest on that. You're like, whoa, why would you need chemicals when you could just digest some mushroom and make it into a spray and spray it? And because you just composted mushrooms, there's chitin that makes up the structure of mushroom, and that's also the exoskeleton of your pest there. Or if it's a mold problem, that's the same thing. So we have the ability to just make a compost heap or brew some tea with an aerator from a fish tank and create things that replace all those chemicals, all those fertilizers, all those factory machines and delivery trucks and all the, like, it replaces it all. And so suddenly we can have healthy lawns, we can have healthy gardens. And like I said before, that ties right into our digestion, which ties right into our bodies, because we are made out of what we eat. And so permaculture really starts off with most people in the garden. So they're learning all the different processes of nature, and they're like, wow, I'm going to go to my garden and do this right now. And that's why they always have these unbelievable gardens. And homeschoolers really can dig their teeth into this because they've got the time. They can really make this their science. Because, I mean, I cover, you know, it's funny. I have teachers in Israel being like, you know, Matt, in our country, we don't teach organic chemistry in high school. We teach that in college. And I'm like, well, that's just the way the soil works. And can your children understand it? And they're like, yeah, of course, but that's not what the standards say. And I'm like, huh. Well, that's the thing is we actually can teach kids, and homeschool parents all know that, right, don't we? We know that
yes.
Our kids are way smarter than the standards. And so it's really about the unlocking and allowing all of our kids to have access to the science, because as fantastic as all the things I've shared are, as wonderful as it is to know that we can take desert, like true desert, and within a few years, without any bringing in water, any just using rainwater, like in the middle of Saudi Arabia, this is in one of my books, two of my books, we can turn that in 3 years into no bare ground, growing trees that are so profitable that each tree brings in $400 worth of oil a year, and they're not even watering it. So, like with like outside water, it's just rainwater that they're reusing. So, it's the amazing possibilities are there. We've got all those facts, but once we give it to our children, and they're inspired at that young, tender, transitional age, and they walk through the stages of their development with this knowledge, I guarantee that it will dwarf anything that I have done. There is someone listening who has a child that will eat this up and then spit out something greater. And we know it. We've already seen it in our communities over and over again. So that's my firm belief. And that's why I give away so much stuff for free, because I know that there's someone waiting to receive this.
And it's totally worth it. If people within just this conversation, you know, one of the biggest things that you pointed out is really that the earth provides everything that we need to be healthy and thrive and have healthy bodies. And, you know, and history, real history, has everything to teach us about how to, you know, the ingenious people and how we used to live and all the things that they're just missing. We're missing chapters and huge books and even the will to want to learn in, you know, whatever, a regular public school at the moment, because everything is so diluted. I mean, you get so conditioned going to public schools, you kind of stop thinking. It isn't about thinking. It's just about passing the grade and doing the work that they want you to do so you can just move on because you're bored, because this isn't our first go around here. I mean, reincarnation is very much real. It's not a belief. It just happens, and that's another you know, Dr. Brian Wise is somebody that you can look up, and you can look up about it, but it isn't taught very much. It's not talked about very much. But we forget that, you know, we just keep existing, that we're energy and we choose and we're a consciousness, and we can choose where it is that we want to go. But if we don't know where we're going, you know, and if we're being taught false information, how do you, you know, move forward in a positive manner that is good for the earth and for everyone else? I kind of forget where I was going with that exactly. But basically, this isn't our first rodeo, and we all have lived in the ingenious times and have been Indians or been on one side of the fence or, you know, mothers, daughters, you name it. So when you're in school nowadays and they have taken so much out of it, you are bored. The kids are bored. And then this is why, you know, this is part of the reason why they turn to drugs or, I don't know, sexual activities or just anything that seems more fun than what's going on, because nothing really seems very beneficial until someone like you, Matt, comes around and is giving real history and real science and working with the earth that literally provides everything down to, you know, using some kind of insecticide like mushrooms, but without the hazardous, you know, chemicals. The earth can you know, rejuvenate itself if we just give it the opportunity to do so. I just wanted to point that out, that this is huge what you're sharing with everyone, and there's always so much more for us to understand and to learn and to utilize. What you're doing is just so wonderful. I have been working on trying to homeschool for quite some time now, and looking into certain curriculums and, you know, this and that. I am so excited to dive into what it is that you have going on here, and even more passionate now to figure out how I'm not going to work a regular job so I can stay home with my children and give them something of a real benefit. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Oh, you bet. And I'm trying to actually help more and more people do that very thing. What I'm trying to actually in my advanced course, once my students are through it, they become affiliates. And so it's this whole empowerment structure so that people can actually sell the course to their friends and family, and then they can actually get the funds they need, the wiggle room, I like to say, that they need to actually make the changes, create that project, launch that business. They need to start generating, because all the things I teach can be turned into, to like, easy, with very little investment, turned into businesses. So that's mm-hmm. the beauty of all things in nature, is that, you know, you plant a seed, you get 100 back. You plant 100, you get 1,000 back. You plant 1,000, you get 100,000 back. And it just keeps going up and up. So, it's really interesting when you look at, you know, mycology as well. It's the same thing. It just scales up so, so easily. I mean, animals, eggs, chickens, you know what I mean? You name it. It all scales up really fast, and there's very little overhead. And if you have the gumption to do the work, you have the time to do the studying, and you are patient and you are observant, You end up really developing very quickly, within only a few seasons, and in many cases months. You know, you have the ability to launch a business, and maybe it's a local business and it provides enough money that they can start their first savings as a young person, and that's what they need to either save for, you know, the first car, their first business, or maybe going to college courses, whatever they like. But creating that empowerment, that resiliency, especially now in this, it's, you know what, it's a toxic job environment that my 12-year-old son can't go around and mow people's lawns. The fact that he would get in trouble with the local county for being an unlicensed laborer is insanity to me. That we have to create avenues for our children to really develop work ethic, to get out there, partner with nature, serve their community, get to know their neighbors. Who did I serve? Well, as a kid, I served like the oldest people on the block, the people that couldn't do it any longer. And you learn such deep lessons when you do that, and then you're like, what, 15, 16, and they pass away. And you're like, holy cow. So for the last 2 years of their life, I was helping them. And then that does something to a brain. That like being tied into your community, serving at a higher level, giving someone what you know to be the best quality service, food, seed, animal, whatever it may be, something that you were intimately involved with that you know deeply is of deep value, and being able to pass that on to another person and take pride in that, I mean, we don't have opportunities like that for our youth anymore. And this is not only a way that we get to do that. It's not a lemonade stand. These careers go right into the mainstream and then start disrupting things. So suddenly, like, all the garbage companies are all having trouble. They're charging us more and more and more. People are complaining because people aren't taking recycling anymore. Recycling centers are all shut down. It's not cost efficient anymore. They can't ship it over to Asia and have them burn it. There's now this real problem. People don't know what to do. The traditional garbage men don't know what to do with the waste, but permaculturists do. And so mm-hmm. we're going to have these disruptive technologies, these disruptive innovations come in more and more straight out of our communities locally, not from some top-down solution from the government or from some corporation, but from our kids and from their own ideas that are improvisational because they understand the principles that underlie the world that they were born into. And so like that's what I really want. I want to empower people on such a fundamental level that they have the fluency. And I know I threw out a couple of different like science terms and stuff, but honestly, when it comes down to like how these things work, I can teach 4- and 5-year-olds how to do everything I do. And it's all that basic. And the science that goes into it is really cool. And I make it visual in my work so that it's really easy to hold on to. And I know my mentor is currently working on something special. We've talked about it in the past, her ideas, but I know that they're starting to move forward on some of them. But they're going to be making, like, kids' cartoons and movies with actual, like, plots that actually demonstrate soil biology. So, like instead of, like Minecraft and creepers, there's, like, nematodes and bacteria and fungi, and there's good guys and bad guys. Yeah, they've got it all figured out, so it's going to be amazing.
Yes, I'm into that. I'm into letting my kids play that game. Maybe with some blue blocking glasses.
Right, right.
That's another thing.
Yeah, I don't know
that.
If they're going to make a game. I think it's just going to be a cartoon, but a game would probably be much more popular. And I do actually know several people that are working on permaculture games. And they're always trying to draw it back to real life. And that's the critical linchpin because we're all focused on nature. If we did the video game, it would have to tie into real life. So what they wanted to do was a farm what's that app from Facebook, the farm thing?
Yeah, the farm planting. I know what you're talking about.
I forget the name, but it was all the rage like 5 years ago. So, but they decided that they wanted to have it be that you only could update your digital online one if it actually happened in real life. So there's people trying to create real life video games, so in reverse. And then there's other people doing like Sims. So they want to create entire permaculture cities that are like half jungle that are simulations so that it gets kids dreaming in that way, and so that they start inventing in that way, which is neat.
Yeah, your dreams are big and they're powerful and they're wonderful because while we're here, we should definitely do what makes sense and working with the earth and becoming healthy and eating real food and learning how to grow businesses that work with the earth and help other people really survive and thrive here really makes sense. You said something about dreams. Do you pay attention to your dreams? Like your dreams, like your nightly dreams?
I only dream if I sleep in too much. So like this morning I slept until 5:30 and I totally had a dream that I was going too fast on a road. Cuz I watched we were trying to get me to relax. I'm trying to do a massive lift here because there's just nothing in this corner of academia currently. So I'm just creating all this stuff. But they want me to relax on my birthday. So yesterday we relaxed and we were watching this movie and this person in this movie just could not slow down on turns. And I'm like, ugh. And it's like you're just like waiting for them to have an accident over and over again. And we're on this little road where it's like 15 miles per hour. So anyway, but yeah, no, like if I watch movies, I'll have dreams that replay the movie's intense scenes. So I tend not to watch movies and keep my mind as clean as possible and clear. And not saying that movies are even, because I think this is a PG movie, not saying that movies like in general are like, are dirty or something, but for me, I really enjoy waking up and meditating and having a clear channel open so that I can listen and be really open and to impressions and yeah, I tend not to actually watch movies ever. I try to immerse myself as much in nature. We try to go on hikes and visit waterfalls and things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wanted to. I mean, a lot of times. So what it looks like is that you obviously you're a very clear, pure channel, and you know you can tell very much so with everything that you've come to know and everything that you've come to share. And one of the things that we at the New Home School talk about a lot, and that's just a stepping stone, is your dream visions, the ones that you have at night. But you don't have to have them just at night. I say this and I bring it up because sometimes we don't realize that, you know, our real awareness is actually operating and, you know, we're getting the impressions and, you know, we get the nudges to, like, pay attention to our intuition and what actually makes sense, like what is good for us. And sometimes, you know, we're so polluted here with, you know, so many things with the GMO foods, with the lack of real education and the lack of real history and just utilizing the earth as it, for its, you know, natural abilities to heal and work with. We, you know, our lines, our physical bodies get very polluted and we aren't able to see the pictures very clearly or get the impressions or, you know, live within our intuition, which is something else that's not being taught on a regular basis. And unless it's at home, you know, but to just allow the children to listen to themselves, that's not happening very often in public school. Like I said, it's more, you know, this is what we have, this is what you learn, and this is what you do. You know, you get here, you do this, you do that, and then you leave. That's just how it works. And, you know, that's the huge difference between public school and homeschool is homeschool children have a lot more ability and, you know, the parents backing them in and following their intuition and their likes and their dislikes. So I say because it's a way to start out. So if you're not having dreams, because this is just the passing dream. So, you know, like you yourself, you're having these impressions and, you know, downloads for a lack of a better word regularly without your dreams. You know, you're able to just pick up on it and live within, you know, what it is that you are learning here and then all of the lives that you have learned up to here. And just to be able to produce what you're producing has a lot to do, you know, with your real awareness.
Well, let's get into that. So okay. I study this extensively. Do you know Dr. Joe Dispenza?
I do know Joe Dispenza. Yeah. Yeah. He's a cool guy. He healed himself. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm doing what he recommends. So I'm doing 55 minutes of meditation, and I'm going back into that state, into my dream state, and then I'm cueing the thoughts, feelings, emotions that I want to feel, and then emotionally attaching to those, and then I'm letting them go, and then I'm doing that, and it's basically like, by letting go and then re-grabbing that feeling and emotion and re-cueing that, you're firing it as a pattern in your brain. In that meditative, actually really hypnotic state. I mean, people don't understand what hypnosis really is. It's not as scary as we realize. We're always in a hypnosis state, and actually people can monitor our brains while we're asleep. And then at a certain moment, say things to us and totally cause an upload to happen without our permission. So it's like really kind of crazy when you get into it. But we have the opportunity to go in there and reset things ourselves and as well to cue things and train our minds in a very certain way. So right now I actually have a book that's on Kickstarter that's actually the courses are being kickstarted. The book is going to come out on Amazon June 1st. Called Unstoppable Enthusiasm. That's exactly about this very thing, about how to train and cue enthusiasm. My wife's fighting cancer a sixth time right now. And what we've learned through facing cancer so many different times is that it's the number one most important thing, the number one indicator of survival, health, you know, resilience, is our connection to what makes us feel alive. So that's what enthusiasm is. And so yeah, no, I'm really into all this stuff. And so I'm basically cueing my dream patterning in my brain every morning for like an hour. And then I'm actually cueing it to be exactly what I want. So I'm envisioning, you know, I'm envisioning having the ability to form large groups of people and regreening Nevada and Arizona and in most of the, you know, like I that's what I'm seeing in my mind's eye as I meditate in the mornings. And that's like, it's like the sweetest, best possible dreams that I could have. And I'm also in that mental state. And then there's a bunch of arguments about when you're in that middle state, when you're just fully relaxed and just releasing and you're not holding thoughts and you're not trying to force yourself to do anything. That state, there's arguments that it's five times deeper than normal rest. So self-care is a real important, I think it's the first step of people care. So it's not always talked about in permaculture because a lot of people lean on the gardening because that's easy to start with. And that's what most people are doing. They're still introducing people to the concepts. But I have an advanced course. And so I allow people to do everything. They can start a mushroom business. They can, you know, have something that's just for helping people. That's a community service. And that's people care. So I really want it to be this cultural shift where we see this oneness of taking care of our local surrounding as the same as taking care of our elderly, as the same as taking care of our children. And once we start seeing that, we're going to create a completely different world, completely different culture. The wisdom that's going to come out of the children's mouths when they, from a very young age, understand ethics, it's going to be humbling for the grandparents. And it's going to change the world. It's going to touch their hearts. And we're going to see a change.
Yeah, you're also pointing out how much we are creators and how each individual can focus and can shift and create what it is they want in their life. You're pointing that out on a very large scale on how, you know, you're occupying your thoughts and where you're putting your attention and then powering it with emotion. You know, ends up landing something like what you're doing and able to share with your bigger picture. It's just really interesting how, you know, in retrospect, that's what you're also teaching without actually having to say that, is that we are all our own creators and we're all working together here. And with real knowledge and education like you are sharing, yeah, it can definitely change the world. And I'm really looking forward to like diving deep into what you're doing and sharing with other people. I'm so glad that you came on so I can share it with, you know, all of our audience and everyone alike.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, man, you're super cool. I don't know, Sandy, did you have anything? Or was there questions? Because Sandy has the board. I think there's a few other callers, if you had time for questions.
My husband, Bob, would like to say a few words about tap lining.
Okay.
Hi there, Matt. Most of us that are on the show know what tap lining is. And I don't know, is that a new term for you, tap lining?
It is.
Well, you know, tap lining is a process whereby negative energies, well, first off, you believe like there's a physical body and astral body and that sort of thing. You've heard of astral bodies, astral travel, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, basically the concept that our energy can go elsewhere, right?
Well, you've heard of people that go out of body and they astral travel and they zoom around the sky and they call that astral travel. You've heard of that, right?
Right. There's different forms of meditation that do that.
Right. Well, your astral body is your emotional body, and most people can't see. You know, typically the average person cannot see the astral body, but it's your emotional body. It's a little bit separate from your main physical body, and it contains all your emotions. And there are entities out there that tap line, what we call, they connect actual lines to your astral body, and they suck out your energy, or they transmit negative energy into your astral body, which automatically affects your physical body and really puts a lot of strains on it. And you ever see that movie The Matrix by any chance?
Yeah.
Right. Remember when he was kind of locked up in that real gooey stuff, and he broke free, and there was this line stuck to him, and he just pulled it, yanked it off? That was a tap line. And it's kind of amazing that Hollywood actually shared the existence of tap lines with people, but they are extremely real. And, you know, this educational process that you do is really, really good. However, if anybody that you're trying to teach is tap lined, it makes it sometimes extremely difficult to learn new subjects. Because when you're tap line, you can sometimes they can actually control your thoughts, because they are capable of controlling your emotions. And if you're a somewhat emotional person, they can control you through those tap lines. And we know a lot of people that have been tap lined that were really good friends, and they got tap lined and they treat us like they don't want to talk to us ever again. It's amazing what tap lines can do to people. Now, Sandy wants to add more to that.
I was going to add something here. Many times these astral tap lines that go onto your astral body can create all sorts of cancers. That is where most of the cancers come from, is the astral plane. And what they do is when they attach to you, they suck out all the energy that your emotional body has, and therefore you get sick. I know friends of mine, one of them owned Ocean Ponics in Fort Myers, and he was very conscientious about his health, only ate the best stuff on the planet and juices, etc. But he died of cancer, and he died of cancer because he was tap-lined. Now, I saw him on what we'd like to call the real side in the new presentation. And I saw him being escorted by actually a rather ugly female and another female on his other side. And he didn't look good. He was kind of bent over, and he was a big strapping man in life. He was a farmer. And so these tap lines really did him in, so to speak. And I've seen others that have been tap lined, and when they cross over to the real side, they don't look so good. Many times they don't even know where they are, and they lack energy when they get over to the real side after they die. It's something that really happens. It's real. Bob has something.
Yeah, I think that so what I tend to do is I tend to study everything and then find the linkages that connect them all. And so absolutely, negative spirits affect people. And then there's blockages, energy blockages is another way to say it. And then there's also, you know, so Tony Robbins talks about this. So, like, let's say say a person is, you know, at the funeral of their father, and someone comes up and goes, "Man, I don't know how you're dealing with this. I would be a wreck. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't know, have any idea." And then slaps you on the shoulder. Well, he's encoded you now with that negative emotion, that negative, like, oh, maybe I should be more depressed than I am. And then a year later, someone slaps you on the shoulder, and then suddenly you feel like this dark womb over you, and you're like, whoa, I'm upset now, or I'm irritated, or I'm angry. You know, it's like you have these triggers that get encoded into your body, into your spirit. Words, feelings, time, places, smells, all these things get encoded, and memories too. I mean, when people get physical therapy done, what's happening when they're going over their head with their arm and suddenly they're bursting into tears and they're weeping. And they're like, is it hurting? And they're like, whoa, alarm. And they're crying and it's something emotional. It's nothing. And the release from that blockage, that muscle knot, that strain, that there's something there that they are needing to work through. So yeah, no, I see this all the time in myself and in my other people and in my students and in the studies of all the different people that I study.
You know, that's very interesting. Yeah, that kind of makes me wonder, have you ever, I know you've talked to several people in our group, and has anybody ever talked to you about the new UUU that we do?
No, I don't know that one.
Well, you know what's, you know, you're working with young kids, and you know, probably the most important thing you could ever do for the people that you deal with, especially the kids and adults and people that are having problems, is to teach them how to sing New UUU. And you sing it as a song. It's not a Gregorian chant or anything like that. It's intended to be sung. And when you sing that, what it does is it creates an area of anathema for all negative energies. They cannot stand anybody that sings New UUU because it directly connects you with the real side, the all is, and the real guides. And it's just a wonderful thing that you can do for anybody. And what, even if you have questions in life or you have problems, if you sing New UUU, and you can sing it any way you want. I typically sing it like New UUU, or sometimes I'll do New UUU, you know, whatever you feel like. And you do that for about 15 or 20 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night, and that connects you with the real guides, and you can ask the real guides to remove your tap lines. The real guy, the first night I did a new UUU, every single one of my tap lines was removed, and I had a ton of them, and at the time I didn't even know what a tap line was. But all of a sudden, my energy level went up, my mind became clear, and my things I've always wondered about and asked for an answer, all of a sudden I got understanding about life and what it was all about, and especially like kids. You know, when kids are dreaming and at night they dream and they go on to the real side, you know, and they're actually, a lot of them are meeting with the real guides and showing them what the real side is. And if you share the new UUU with them and have them sing that, they can actually connect with these real guides and get every answer in life they could ever possibly want. And I'm sure, Mary, you probably have something to add to that.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that you guys brought this up. It totally correlates with what Matt is sharing and what you're doing here on the earth plane, because it's important to take care of where we are. But we are all multidimensional, and we're sometimes missing the mark, and there's a lot. And life is really, really, really big. And it's always a good start to start with the all-natural environment, because it presents everything that sustains us and everything that we need. And it just is, it just exists for us. Just like our bodies, they're just so magical and they work for us. And when we get into the concept that we're multidimensional, we can start to recognize that this isn't the only existence that we have. But while we're here, we should definitely make sense and take care of ourselves and our bodies and the other people. And, you know, it shows our pureness and our sincerity, and it's one of the, I'm like missing a word here, but it's one of the qualities, you know, just like the sun shining, it's one of the qualities that we can inhabit. And then utilizing the new song and the new sound will help us open up to recognizing what's really going on here, because they're, you know, with what you're doing, Matt, and why it isn't already taught, and, you know, why isn't that we're already utilizing, it's not that we didn't know, you know, that the earth provides for us, or that food that's natural is going to be better for us, or that eating poisons is not good for us. It's not that we don't know these things, but they're not being utilized on a regular basis. And we have to question why. Why isn't, you know, the government producing things that actually make sense or that are good for us? Or where is our money going for the politicians, or, you know, whatever, all of this that we pay into and, you know, we're working with, and we think that, you know, what we're doing is good, but when we're missing a whole bunch of history and or how to work with the earth, we have to think about the bigger picture and what's really happening here, because as we do that, we can then start to recognize what's happening on the real side and see that, you know, see who we really are, you know, the free being of real life that you really are, and learn that when you leave here, you don't have to continue in the reincarnation karma cycle here and come back here, because it's always a guessing game. You know, it's a survival thing here, and we don't have to survive. Well, we have to survive always and become self-sufficient, and that's why it's another really good reason why you're teaching what you're teaching, because it's teaching everyone how to become self-sufficient, and that is one of the things that you need for the real universes of real light and sound, is to become self-sufficient and to recognize yourself. And you can do that by utilizing the new sound, which is the real light of the sound light reality. And the more recognition that you have of who you really are, the better chance you have of, you know, breaking the bonds of the control that is here, just like you're doing now. You're doing it just in a waking state. You're breaking the bonds. You're creating something that can be utilized for a benefit here. And a lot of the things that are produced here aren't for a benefit. It's actually just to keep us trapped and subservient, so that we don't recognize who we are. So really the new sound is a great tool to teach your children, and you can practice it with your own kids and maybe even write something up about it if you decide to practice it yourself, and see what it does for you, or see how you can utilize it with your everyday nature and everything that you're doing, and, you know, just have a bigger picture of where you're going when you're leaving here. And you can do that, you know, regularly, like, you know, on a nightly basis, you can start to recognize, you know, who you really are, because we are all creators. And your real awareness, so you have your physical body here, you have what Sandy and Bob were talking about with your emotional body, and then you have your mental body, your casual body, which are like all of the memories that you have now and all of the lifetimes of accumulation of knowledge and energies and everything that you have. And then you have your etheric body, which is like the intuition, where we do pick up on like how to heal ourselves and what is healing. And then what basically steers all these bodies is your real awareness. And that is, you know, your pureness and your sincerity. And that's what really can become more aware itself, because once you recognize that you have a real awareness, that will help put your five bodies in order so that you don't have to be controlled by your emotions or by your mental thoughts. And you can just have a bigger picture. If you have any questions, that is fine. I feel like that was a lot of information at one time. And I hope I explained it properly. Or if anybody has anything to add on, that would be fine as well.
Hello, Matt. This is,
yeah, thank you for sharing.
This is Bob again. And yeah, that was a mouthful. That was a lot of information. Anyway, you know, one of the things that I always found interesting, because, you know, I don't know that, and I suppose you probably know this. Did you know that kids from the time they're born up until they're about five or six years old usually remember their past lives? You're familiar with that, right?
Well, I know that, I mean, they're in a certain brainwave state, and so they pick up on a lot of other things, so that's why they're actually in a hypnotic state if you just look at their brainwaves from age 1 to 7.
Right. Well, before they get Well, one of the reasons why the government medicates kids with all the vaccinations is to destroy their ability to be spiritual and be able to see the other planes. And but usually kids up until like 5 or 6 years old can actually see entities on the astral plane. A lot of them have play friends. You've heard stories about where little kids will be playing with their little friend and their mother screams at them, well, there's nobody there. Quit making believe. You know, you've heard those stories, right? Well, another example of young kids being able to see on the astral plane, it's one of my favorites, where you have, you know, in kindergarten, the little kids a lot of times will pull out their finger coloring paints, and the teacher will tell the kids, okay, now pull out the different colors, and we want you to finger paint a picture of your mommy. And so the kids, you know, they get out the brown crayons and they draw the face and they get brown or blonde and start drawing their mommy's hair. And then the teacher goes around, looks at the pictures, and then she looks down at little Johnny, and little Johnny's painted his mother's hair blue. And the teacher says, oh, little Johnny, your mother's hair is not blue. And, you know, tries to, you know, oh, come on, quit doing that, little Johnny. You know, you should not be coloring your mother's hair blue. Well, you know why little Johnny colored his mother's hair blue? Do you have any idea? Take a wild shot, Matt. Why would little Johnny color his mother's hair blue?
Is it because he's seeing auras or something?
You got it. Little Johnny could see the blue aura around his mother. And most people that are in good health do have a bright blue aura around their head, which is readily visible by kids that can see auras. But when the teachers step in and say, oh, little Johnny, and they take the blue color away, snatch it away, and don't you dishonor your mother by coloring her hair blue, guess what that does to the kids? It destroys their spirituality. And one of the things that Sandy and Mary are into is we're trying to develop kids' spirituality if we're able to make presentations for especially the young kids, we share that, you know, when they have these dreams and they have all these experiences and see all these other beings or fairies or whatever they happen to be, it's real. It's as real as a car sitting in your driveway. And just because the average person can't see them doesn't mean they're not real. You know, it's kind of like that movie. Remember that movie with Bruce Willis called The Sixth Sense? And the whole movie went on, and I don't want to ruin it for anybody that's never seen it, but you had this kid that could see dead people. Well, where do dead people usually go? Well, they usually, if they haven't gone to the higher worlds, are wandering around as real beings in their astral body, and these kids can see it. And,
you know,
I mean, it's the real thing.
If you look back at the history of fairies, it's likely that they were bugs, and and what happened is as older people got older, we didn't have glasses for people. The adults could not see the little bugs, like the no-see-ums, you know? Like, little kids with good eyes can see no-see-ums. You know what I mean? Like, when they get bit, it's like, we don't see it because our eyes aren't as sharp. But back in the day when people didn't have glasses, like, they wouldn't see the smaller insects, and the kids still could. And insects are literally the fairies. They're the things pollinating everything. They're the things causing the orchestration of everything. We just demonize everything.
Well, that's true. There are insects, but there are real fairies. I mean, just like in the fairy tales, the gnomes and all them, they are as real as the car in your driveway. You just don't see them. They're really prevalent over in Ireland and, you know, over in Europe. That's where they're a lot more prevalent than they are in the United States. But they are there, everywhere, and it's very real. And, you know, the neat thing about life, you know, as we're trying to present our new presentation, as we're trying to show, and especially the young kids, because they're more open to it, because if we catch them at an early age before they're drugged out of their spirituality, they can identify with what we're saying. And the whole idea in life now is to become more aware of these things. What is reality? What, you know, become aware of what's real and what isn't real, what's real. You know, what's make-believe, what makes sense on this planet. And once you become aware of reality and you realize the difference between the true reality or what we call the real side and the world of creation, the world that was created, we call it the cause-effect creation, you can step out of it. You can actually step out of creation and be with the all is and the real guides. And you are no longer subject to the prison planet that we're living on. And so that's what our goal is to help people move beyond cause and effect creation onto the real side. And we have a lot of real guides that will help you. But the key is singing the new you to help you and the kids and everybody else you come in contact with get rid of any tap lines that you have and help you get into contact with the real guides that will show you what is true. And Revzar Tars is one of our real guides, and he has a standing offer for everybody. He says, if you will sing new you and ask me what is real, I will show you in your dream state exactly what is real. So, Matt, what you're doing is absolutely wonderful, but, you know, there is more out there. As Mary was saying, life is a little bit bigger than we take for granted. So it's really, really interesting. So that's all I have to say. And thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob. Thank you so much, Matt. Thanks for coming on here and sharing. This is one of the best discussions I think I've had in a long time. And what you're doing and sharing with people is something of such a huge benefit here and will help people recognize even more to life than, you know, obviously what has already existed or what is being taught now. And comparing to what you're teaching with real science and real history and utilizing the earth for, you know, natural medicine. I did want to say there's just a few protocols that you can utilize. I don't know if you know anything about IV therapy or if there is any of that happening where you live. Where do you live right now?
You're so cool. So the IV therapy was how I originally circumvented my stomach in order to heal initially from Crohn's to get me enough stability that I could keep healing. So yeah, no, we're into IV therapies. Basically, like it's in my new book that's Unstoppable Enthusiasm, but I came up with new protocols with a team of over a dozen doctors.
Nice.
And so the thing is, it's like everyone's like, yay, turmeric, use turmeric. But they're using powdered turmeric. And, I mean, if you actually look at the studies and find out who actually was using what, you find that there is a pill 500 times stronger than the powdered turmeric pill that everyone else is taking. And that's what they actually were using in the test, in the Petri dish. But then again, it's a Petri dish. So there's a lot of steps to, like, undoing what they actually are doing so that you can comprehend. And so there's a lot of memes out there. So what I did, and I can just, you know, just explain really quickly. Gathered up all the natural protocols that we knew worked, and then I tweaked them so that they would be able to reach your bone. So, like, you know, arnica, people are using stuff for their joints, you know, they've got achy joints, they're rubbing it in. Well, to get to their skin and muscle, there's a solvent, and that solvent can be a delivery system for all those things they were using in the Petri dish. So suddenly you can imagine that there's a whole different way to suddenly reach the bone, especially in her case where the bone cancer was destroying the bone so that it was accessible. Yeah, so in 2 months' time, she was able to reduce the cancer by 60%. So, and we're still in the process, and she's recently been sick with the flu, so I'm sure she's not, you know, accelerating that process when she's sick. But that's what we're working on right now. She's healing from bone cancer. And that's why I wrote Unstoppable Enthusiasm. I mean, I wrote it for the world, and everyone who's read it has feels like, you know, it's life-changing and it really appreciates it and everything. But I really wrote it so that I could have the tools that I need so that I could make sure that I am where I'm in a place that I can serve my wife at the highest level, that my wife can be in a place where she can actually heal. So that's really, and I've been studying all this stuff, and, you know, a lot of the efficacy, you know, in so many of the things that we see out in the world, whether it be mantra-based, whether it be alternative medicine, taps into our hidden power that was lambasted, right? So the hidden power is the placebo effect. It's our faith. And so when we have faith in something, it has the power to do something. And the placebo effect by Dr. Joe Dispenza, as you probably already have read, articulates this excellently and goes through all the studies, the science, the actual readouts, and, you know, the actual pictures of brain scans showing these things. And in my work, all my stuff is cited. I mean, you can go and read the actual studies from the actual university professors working on the soil science. I work with scientists from all over the world. I think Joe Dispenza is really, really powerful because he does step more into that spiritual realm, but at the same time, he walks with everything's like proven. Like everything as you go along the way is actually cited. It's actually mapped out. And then it ties into all the ancient knowledge. It ties into meditation from all these different ancient yoga meditations. It ties into, and it explains so much of what was the miracles in so many religions. So I highly recommend anyone who's like, wait, I don't know if this would work for me or that works for me or any of those kinds of things when it comes to things that seem far afield from our personal experience. The placebo effect is our hidden power. If we believe it, we have faith in it, we give it power. I firmly, you know, believe in that, in that ability and the science behind that. So thank you for bringing all that up. That was really interesting. And all the stuff that I have is designed so that it can serve you all at the highest level and so that you can integrate it and take it to where you find it useful. I try to set everything up so it's menu-based so that it reinforces your modalities of learning and your systems of belief rather than instilling or pushing or any of those kinds of things. Because the beauty of nature, and we see this play out all over the world throughout all history, is that when you take time to observe and really listen and learn from the natural world, you get such clear answers back. And what happens is that you get all these different religions, you get all these different philosophies, you get all this different diversity, and it is all coming from their interaction with nature and the observations and reflections that come from that. And I mean, nature is the original teacher. So yeah.
Yeah. Would you be interested in a book exchange for one of our new books for your Unstoppable Enthusiasm book with the natural cures that you have to learn about your real side and the dream state and even the new song?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's just trade the e-books. Very easy.
Yeah, let's do that. That's super fun. did you have time for more questions? I wasn't sure if Sandy or...
Are there any callers?
There you go. Is there any callers?
Because I feel like we let those callers down.
I know.
We have maybe three or four callers who might want to say something. Claudie is on. Do you have anything you would like to add, Claudie, or ask?
Yes, thank you. This is Claudie in Texas. I'm a grandmother, 73, and working with my grandchildren, and everything that you have presented, Matt, is just wonderful. I wish I'd had it 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago when I was a mother of young children. Yes, everything in nature that we can connect with will give us a better help and understanding of our lives that we're living today. I recently, a couple of years ago, became interested in mushrooms and the activity of the mushroom system and how they talk to each other. That was just fabulous. There's a mushroom guy in Oregon who knows how to do this, and he presented so much information as you have. And thank you so much. That's all I wanted to say is thank you.
Are there any other questions out there for Matt right now? Who's on, Bob? You don't know.
No.
Okay. Well, I applaud you, Matt, because you've actually taken an idea of yours and knowledge of yours, and you actually do something with it.
Thank you.
So there's a lot of people who have an idea, oh, yeah, this would be good or that would be good, but then they kind of sit on their laurels and they don't go forward with it. So I really applaud you for all you're doing out there with
Thank
the environment
you.
Know-how that you have. It's great.
Well, I really appreciate that.
Yeah,
can you
I
hear
just
me?
Want to say, oh, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know it was
go
that
ahead, Mary.
Properly. Awesome. Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
It is wonderful. It's all wonderful. I thank you so much for coming on our show today to share with everyone what you're doing and just for what you're doing. Nothing's negated here. We everything is essential. Everything that we learn is essential. And the fairies are really thanking you. Fairies hide a lot because fairies are all about the all natural environment, and they really don't show themselves often because, you know, people are so disasterly and they just really aren't thinking about what they're doing, and they're just unconsciously creating things. And meanwhile, you're here making a conscious decision to consciously create something that is wonderful for the world. I just had a little excerpt to read about the fairies. I really believe that they want to be acknowledged at the moment because they love the all-natural environment and they love people who take care of the environment, especially the children. And this is by Dwayne the Great Writer, the co-founder of the new presentation and the new you sound. And as I dreamed, I was a fairy by Dwayne the Great Writer. Each lifetime we come into a new life here or anywhere, we have those precious moments when we are the child. There is so much to life that is unseen than is seen, and it is up to you to explore for more or not. Some parents listen to their children, and many just program their children for the socially structured world to become like everyone else and eventually old and unaware again. You really do have a choice, as there is no big plan that someone else is deciding for everyone. The invented systems have indoctrinated you and everyone to think someone else has control over you. If you decide this is so, then it is. There are so many crafty ways that are marketed to you to get you to agree with the restrictions, rules, regulations, and restrictions have been created to control you. When what life is shares something with you, and this is usually comes in the form of what we have come to term as a dream, it is always up to you to decide what you want your life to be. Children are more free and open, and they like fun things to experience and do. Being the child is a very special time during each life we are here. There is so much more that you will come to know. Have fun being the fairy, and join us, and you will see so much more. Thanks again for coming on and sharing what you're doing. I hope to speak with you soon. I'd love to just catch up with you. I can't wait to get some lessons from you as well.
Heck yeah, and actually, you know, I mean, I have a whole series on gardening that's free. It's called Your Best Garden. And it's on my website, thepermaculturestudent.com. And it's a 3-video series. It's just a fun little mini course. But I go really, really deep in those 3 hours, and how to make your garden that next level, beyond organic, feeding you the best food possible and also getting better every single year. So that's free for everyone.
Yeah, everyone check out Matt Powers. He's doing wonderful things. He's empowering everyone. It starts with the children of the future. And don't forget to sing the new sound, open up your dreamscapes, recognize more than you ever have before with the new you. Thanks again for another New Home School episode. Everyone enjoy their day. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.